All right. Welcome, welcome, health enthusiasts. Welcome back to another episode of the Health in the Real World podcast. I'm your host, Chris Janke. We'll call me the go-to guy for waving goodbye to that chronic back pain with those stretches and exercises. And then today, we have a familiar face on the podcast. We have powerhouse Randy Herring. Randy has been on, I think, two other times, maybe even more, but I'm pretty sure at least twice. So whether you're a fitness fanatic or someone on a quest for just healthier habits overall, Randy definitely has that wisdom to guide you. This episode is, it's not just about breaking a sweat, but it's more about kind of breaking free from the societal norms and the expectations. So we're going to talk today about becoming your authentic self. Now, this is obviously something that we're always getting better at. Each one of us can get better and live kind of a freer, healthier existence. So without further ado, Randy Herring. Randy, welcome.
Hi, Chris. It's a pleasure to meet you again and have a talk with you and go through this. And I just want to say that, you know, when you are trying to be your authentic self, you are sweating intellectually. If you're not, then just going through the motions, it's just like training.
It is, right? So elaborate on that a little bit. What do you mean? It's just like training. I agree with you. I think I know what you mean, but what would you say?
Well, you know, when I'm actually in my own studies here, writing something that's deep, you might say, I'm actually physically and mentally, in a sense, draining myself because of all the effort I'm using in my head to write down what exactly it is I want to say and have it understood by people when it's actually on paper. So, and I can be so exhausted that it could be like a training session in a sense that's intellectual.
So how do you sort of like bridge that gap between you want to live your authentic self and at the same time you maybe want to feel understood? So you can't just, I don't know, I think I'm coming at it from like my kids, for example. So I have four kids. I have a 4-year-old, 7, 9, and 12. And when, say, like the 7-year-old is being her authentic self, nobody can understand her because she's just like repeating the same sound over and over again because it sounds cool. And maybe as adults, we don't do that so much, but there is maybe a little tendency, like what goes on in your head, sometimes nobody else can understand it. How do you bridge that gap between being your authentic self, but also trying to communicate with real humans?
So that's a good point because, you know, it's difficult to express yourself to how you truly believe and think to other people so they can understand. So to be your authentic self, to be understood, you may not have that bridge. For example, these philosophers, for example, Kierkegaard and Nietzsche and Jean-Paul Sartre, they're all existentialist thinkers, and they're trying to have the self evolve from you, and also becoming, how should I say, you know, like you say, the society has influenced us to be a certain way. So breaking apart from that thinking or tradition is difficult, but a person like Nietzsche, he is difficult to understand. That's partially his fault, the way he writes. But if you actually read his writings, not about, you know, not a person who writes about Nietzsche, but his own writings, for example, then you'll come to see who this guy really was, although you may not fully understand because there's so many interpretations, for example, of what these philosophers had said.
So going back to that primary source and hearing it directly from him, what I know you are a philosopher, and your next book is about more in the philosophical realm, right? Yeah, you're also a fitness buff, right? How do you marry those two together? Like what in your mind makes them similar? What makes them different? How are they related in your mind?
Well, my first passion when I was younger was fitness, bodybuilding. So that's the physical aspect of you know, helping your body to grow and be healthy and furthering your body. A philosophy is the same way, but it focuses more on your intellect, your mind, so that you keep on growing and evolving, and not just being content with a certain belief, but your belief is should be always up for revision. Not that you've changed your mind, but from maybe reading a certain text or encountering a people that in your life. And that's important because we tend to get stuck on a mindset which can stifle growth in such a way.
I think that's a really great point. I think going back to this, you know, title of this podcast, Health in the Real World, I do think it is healthy to be flexible in your thinking, to be open. Like you said, you don't have to necessarily say like, I'm going to throw away my belief 100%, but at least being able to say like, well, I am not my beliefs, and say like, well, let me try on yours, and asking questions. It's one reason why I like this podcast, because I don't just see like what you believe, but also we can dig a little deeper. Why do you believe it? Maybe there was a circumstance in your life that led you to this, you know, to this belief or a certain way of looking at things. How do you think that ties back to the authentic self? Right. So we do have these two aspects, the physical, the psychological or philosophical, however you want to say it, spiritual even. How does that tie back to the authentic self in your mind?
Well, like you're saying, you know, we have been influenced by society. That's a given. That makes up who we are. Yet at the same time, you know, we have the ability to question, you know, certain beliefs. And also with the going back to the fitness, you know, I have my own certain philosophy of training that helps me, but at the same time, I believe can help others. But so many people are stuck on a certain way of doing things. They cannot entertain themselves to think otherwise and do it. And I'm talking about actually the typical ascending pyramid system working out, where I basically reverse that, talking about reverse pyramid, which basically is starting out with your first heavy weight first for your first set before that warming up to that.
Mm-hmm. So you're starting with the heavy set and you're almost doing, are you doing like drop sets as you go? You're going lighter weight, or how do you do it?
I wouldn't call them drop sets, but they can be termed as that. Mm-hmm. Sure, why not? But basically, well, drop set is basically not resting, after your set, you keep on going down in weight. So I would take that back. It's not a drop set because you are resting between sets.
It's just you're kind of going, you're progressively actually going lighter. And is that just, actually, I'm curious. We're talking about philosophy and now we're going philosophy of fitness. I like this. How did you stumble upon this reverse pyramid as your MO?
You know, interesting you asked me that, because it's I've been doing it for the past 20 years, and I believe it was 20 years ago. I don't know how, but it made more sense, more efficient, starting out with your heavyweight first. Yeah. But then again, the warm-up is might warm up, for example, chest. You know, doing your chest, for example, might take like a 10 or 15 minute warm up. Those aren't your real sets, though. A lot of people may not like that. But the reverse pyramid, basically, it starts with the heavy weight first, goes down, and actually is more efficient, and it's actually quicker. It's actually psychologically easier, physically, because you're going lighter.
Mm. You're going lighter after the initial set, you mean?
Exactly, yeah. And the last set would be your easiest set, doing more reps, but still is difficult, but you're taxing out your body and just only like, for example, three sets, as I outlined in my book, The Fitness Mindset.
Nice. Yeah. And thank you for sending me that book. I do have a copy of that. I do recommend Randy's book. Okay. So you have the reverse pyramid. I love breaking this down. So it makes a lot of sense though, right? You do need the warm up, but what a lot of people do with the pyramid is they actually end up using the initial sets of the pyramid as a warm up. So they're not going as heavy as they could be anyway. Right. And so you're saying, do a proper warm up, make sure you're good and ready, go heavy. You're going to tax your nervous system and then do your, and then you're doing your more, time under tension, you're doing more volume, things like that, when you don't need to be as fresh necessarily. Is that like a pretty good summary?
Correct. Yeah. So your first initial warm-ups, those sets don't count because it just warms the body up. And that's important too, because studies have indicated, you know, through warming your body up, your body becomes more efficient and through the exercise. And when you start heavy, when you go down, I mean, the last thing you want to do is another set after three sets. If you've done like two sets and you feel tired and exhausted, then that's it. Move forward, move on to the next exercise. That's the point of it. It's very time efficient and energy efficient system.
Whoops, I was muted. You're flexible in your approach, right? You have your good days, your bad days. You and you're open to seeing what, right? Like, oh, I'm done with two sets, I'm out, I'm good. I think that's really good. So how does one who is not into weightlifting, like you and I grew up with this stuff, I don't know how long you've been lifting, but you know, I started as early as the
45 years.
Yeah, right. You were like a teenager, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
14.
Same. 14. As soon as the YMCA would let me on the weights, I was all over it. And the topic of this episode today, it you know, if somebody just looks at it surface level, maybe they don't see the connection between health and your authentic self and weightlifting, what we're talking about. How has the weightlifting journey sort of helped you to find that authentic self inside of you? And the second part of that question would be, what is your recommendation for somebody who is not interested in weightlifting, but they know intellectually that it's beneficial? How do they make that switch in their head to where you have become the last couple of decades?
Boy, that's a loaded question. Questions.
Sorry.
Well, no, you're good. So, you know, I can just answer the first one is that, you know, I see a lot of people at the gym, they're on their phones, and I know there's apps they follow that people, the apps they follow are from people that they are influenced from, therefore they're followers, right? But I see him not. I see him, you know. Yes, I'm watching him. Well, I'm not really because I'm working on doing my own thing here. But you know, it almost can be unavoidable not watching people go through the motions, look at their phone here, and I can see some people looking at their apps, what to do. You know, it's a break away from that, and you know. And focus on maybe something different. Maybe it might be more helpful. Maybe people go to the gym also to socialize. I understand that, but you're there to exercise. Now, to answer your other question, if I recall it is, so if you want to be your authentic self intellectually, well, then step out of your own, for example, leave home, right? Step out of your own comfort zone. You hear that a lot, right? But leave home, you know, question what you've been taught. And you know, and there's a reason why I say that too, because I had my own, I would say my intellectual conversion back in 1988 is when I look at it.
Mm-hmm. What happened in 1988?
So I'll try and make this short, okay? I was in Japan as a missionary working for the church I used to belong to, and I was reading Aristotle's Ethics, but that wasn't my conversion. I was actually reading Nietzsche's last three books he ever wrote, and that influenced my way of thinking otherwise. Now, when you read a book by Nietzsche, you can agree with him and disagree violently, because I sometimes just felt like throwing the book across the room. It's like, no way.
Yeah.
But it's another perspective, and that's actually what he teaches, Nietzsche. It's a perspective this way might be better than this way. What might be defined as good in society might possibly be bad or evil. So yeah. Beyond Good and Evil is a book he wrote, but it's a lot more than that. He's a very complex guy, but you know, I challenge people to read his actual works.
Yeah.
To get to know the guy, read his journals.
Yeah. Even better. I mean, that I really think that the more that we learn about other people's opinions, mindsets, getting other perspectives, then you can sort of help to find your authentic self, right? Versus, like you said, what's the title of that book? Beyond Good and Evil?
Beyond Good and Evil.
Right. And we can substitute the good and evil with, I don't know, all the polarizing terms nowadays, you know, left, right, black, white, you know, whatever, liberal, conservative, right? And it's like, nobody is 100% good, 100% evil, right? Would you say that in 1988, you sort of found that there's like a gray area and there's this weaving of ideas and, you know, it's, you can't really pin anything down because, well, it depends on this and it depends on that other thing, right?
So I'm smiling because philosophy is a gray area, but there comes a time when you actually, when you have a certain opinion of this and that, which basically taking this opinion of this person, but you also have to have your own opinion based on that, which means to say that you have to know why you believe this is a certain way or why you believe this is so. That's basically how you come to understand who you really are or emerging to be.
Is that Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
No, I'm sorry. When you can put that reasoning along with what you believe, you can't. Yeah. It's just simply an opinion that you've heard from others.
Yeah. And you go, you know, that's kind of a sign of maturity, right? You go from being just a patchwork quilt or like a mouthpiece of some propaganda, somebody else's opinion, to forming these very deep opinions that you can, like you said, reason your way through. And, you know, that's why I love living in this country, is that freedom of speech, the freedom of thought, at our core. And it's great. Like just the fact that you and I can speak here and we're bouncing ideas off each other. Each of us is going to be very slightly changed after this conversation. And, you know, we can make our own decisions as far as what we want to believe.
And I have to add too that what I'm writing is a book called Existential Essays for Personal and Spiritual Growth. I wrote these essays when I was 25 to 30 years old, most of the time in Japan and sometimes in the States. But I've been writing an afterword to those essays, which is pretty extensive because the world has changed in the past 35 years. So I'm writing in such a way that's organized based on another idea from another philosopher who's kind of guiding my way through this. So hopefully the book will be out 6 months, maybe.
Nice. Well, when it is, you should come back on the show and we can do a promo and just like dive inside of it and check out different parts. You said you have a new website. I want to talk about that, because how do people get your first book, your fitness book?
Well, they can get the Fitness Mindset book on thefitnessmindsetbook.com, and they can read, you know, about it, where to go, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatnot. And I just decided to buy another domain name site, randymherring.com. Nice. And I just got that just actually today, and nothing's on there. But if people want to know who I am or who I'm trying to be your authentic self is difficult in this world because this world is noisy.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to find your own voice. And I say that because to find your authentic self, you know, you've actually have to have feelings of a certain mission that can help guide your behavior in that direction. So I think I found mine through fitness and also through philosophy. And I am always working on that and always trying to grow, you know, mentally, intellectually, physically, and, you know, spiritually. It's all woven together.
For sure. Wow. I love that. Finding your mission. You have these two main avenues by which you've been able to find your mission, fitness and philosophy. I minored in philosophy in college. I took a ton of, I just couldn't get enough of it. It's so interesting just having these discussions with professors and then they'll ask you a question that just blows up your brain. It's just amazing. Love it. What are you going to put, do you think, on the homepage, randymherring.com? First thing people see, what's your first thought? What are you going to put there when you do build it out?
Well, I think what I'll do is put my book that I'm still writing. Again, the afterword's pretty long. I actually might take that afterword and publish it into a separate book, so because I do want people to read that, because I think it is very important. But I'll probably have that book first and then offer my other book, of course, and books I have in the making. I have a lot of projects that I have, like four or five more books I want to write and get out. They're kind of like in line. But I have everything in such a way that I think I'm prioritizing my books that I think are more important to get out first. And one actually is a book called Fitness During and After Cancer.
Ooh.
I've still yet to get that book out.
Okay. So people who didn't hear your last podcast with me, quick background of your experience with this.
With cancer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, I had cancer three times. My last time I went through chemo and lost my hair. I still worked out when I could. And I actually had testicular cancer three times. So I have no testicles. I have to be on a TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, prescribed by my doctor, but yet I was still able to get through my workouts. And at one time I couldn't take any testosterone. And again, this is regulated by my doctor. I have to be in a certain level in the normal range. Okay. So if I go beyond that, it's basically taking more than it's supposed to. That'd be kind of considered a steroid. It is a steroid, but I'm actually in where I should be. Therefore, I'm not abusing this as some may. And when I was not taking it because of my prostate was getting larger, I was still able to work out. That to me is significant. I still had the energy to do that because the doctor said it's because you've been active all your life.
Perfect. Like they say, right? The best time to start a workout program was 20 years ago. Second best time is today. So,
right.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Randy, so many more, I think, podcasts coming up. I think we have a lot to talk about still. I like to keep these short, as you know, so we'll cut it there. Again, one final thought, summarizing, unveiling your authentic self. What last bit of advice would you give to people?
Don't be afraid to step out of the ring and share yourself with the world, because there's somebody out there who may benefit from what you are going through yourself, to be your authentic self.
Awesome. Well, Randy, thanks for joining us today. I'm Chris Jahnke, today with Randy Herring. And I think that's it. We're going to sign off from the live stream. Thanks everyone for joining. And we'll talk next time on Health in the Real World.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks, Randy.